Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I want to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's an old saying, if you like what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, my two guests beyond like what they're doing because they love what they're doing. They are the writers and producers of a high concept drama called 86, which explores the underbelly of success within the entertainment industry. So be prepared to learn more about 86 and their newly formed production company called Outside the Block. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Make some noise. I mean, make some noise for Adam Starks and Francesca Gales. Put it up.
Thank you so much.
What is going on? How are you two doing?
Not bad.
I'm fantastic. I'm doing great. I want to start off immediately by sharing some of my criticism for 86. Is that okay with you?
By all means.
Yeah. I just want to be straightforward. I just want to put it all out there. All right. Why y'all left me on a cliffhanger like that, man? Come on. Don't do that to me. I'm watching
the show.
We got to
keep people wanting more.
Oh, you can't do that. I'm stressing.
That's good.
Oh, man, I am so excited, I mean, to just be interviewing you about this project you got going on, 86. There's so much to talk about 86 and your production company Outside the Block, but I want to talk about the relationship between you two because I find it very dynamic. You know each other from Virginia. You're both writers, you're actors, and you're creating your own material. I love it. Francesca, can you go ahead and start off, share a little bit with me?
Sure. Like you said, I'm actually originally from New York, and Adam and I actually met in Virginia while we were working on a pilot. And Adam himself was also a writer, and I was learning. I was teaching myself how to write. And I always knew that I wanted to, we had been trying for years to try to come together and collaborate on a project. And I had this brainchild in my head for a couple years. And I knew that I wanted Adam to help me write it. So I'd kind of done a couple sketches, you know, outlines for it, but never really got anywhere. And then opportunity knocked, and we both actually moved out to California about a month apart. And we sat down, and we knocked out our first script, which is actually in circulation right now. And then I sat down, and I told him I really wanted to write this other script called 86. And we sat down, we knocked it out from beginning to end. We wrote it in about a week. Edited in about a week, and I've been acting professionally for about 2.5 years. Been writing since I was 16, and it's just opportunity knocked, and you know, trying to get a couple of my projects up off the ground, trying to do my own thing.
fantastic. So Adam, from my understanding, primarily both of your objectives was just to write this project 86, but somehow, somewhere down the line, you started to say, hey, you know, is it wrong for me to want to be acting in this thing?
Yeah, you know, typically, when you write stuff as a writer, you don't really write so you can be in it. You know what I mean? You're just writing it because it's a story that you've got to get out of your head. You got to get it down on paper. So I remember Fran and I were sitting in my apartment, and we were just going through the script, and I stopped, and I looked at her, and I was like, yeah, it's as long as I want to be in this. And she looked at me, she was like, I know, me too. So it kind of just picked up there. We're like, all right, so we knew which way we were going to approach it. We knew we were going to try to film this at that point. It was just a matter of how. And that's when we decided to break it up as a web series.
Fantastic. I love it. I love it. You killed the hopes of some actors out there, but you cast yourself. But no, but at the same time, you're creating opportunities, and we're gonna talk about that very shortly, and I love it. So you're still in the process of making pilots for this, but ultimately, initially, this was supposed to be a pilot, then it just evolved into a web series, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Basically, we wrote the entire first season of 86 is actually a web. Is a actual television pilot. It's just that we broke it up. The cold opening or the teaser, if you will, is episode one, act one of what would be the television show is episode two of the web series, so on and so forth. Brent.
Yes, exactly what he said.
So Fran, yes. Everybody who's listening is like, what is 86? What is 86? Tell everybody, and I'm going to let everybody know right now, they're going to leave you on a cliffhanger. You're going to want more. You're going to keep coming back for more, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, 86 basically, it follows these three characters, entertainment moguls. Two of whom work in the music industry, the other works in the actual theatrical entertainment side of it, and that's the character Jackson. And basically what's happening in this show is that these characters have lied, cheated, stolen, and killed their way to success, and we are picking up the story when they are at the epitome of their success. And what happens is they have their star client, their cash cow, if you will, is this character named Tweety La. And the show opens with Tweety La's unfortunate and untimely death on the eve of her actually signing a new contract with a new agency, with a new entertainment group. And what's happening is we're actually trying to figure out, A, who killed Tweety La, and you're actually you're watching these characters trying to cover up their tracks, but also just dealing with the everyday business of entertainment. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty much watching this empire, if you will, crumble from within, and a lot of it has to do with there are so many skeletons in their closet that come out, and you're just pretty much, you know, you're engulfing these characters in their lies and their deceit, but also they have a lot of issues that they're dealing with, which on some level makes them a little bit sadistic, but at the same time endearing, if that's even remotely possible.
Yes. I love it. The characters and the website by itself is very detailed and meticulous in terms of letting you know who the characters are, and you kind of know what to expect from them, you know, somewhat to a degree immediately just from reading about them. And within that first episode, you did a great job introducing that first episode, and I definitely looking forward to seeing some more. I can't wait. So, Adam, thank you. Talk to me for a second. Now, check this out. You know, I consider myself a creative guy. Just recently, my former roommate and I, we put some commercials together for Doritos contests and things like that. So the brainstorming was fun, but when it came to writing, it was like, okay, you take lead on these, I'll take lead on these. We split, and we came back later on. I am so interested in knowing what is it like for the both of you as partners in the business, as writing partners. What is it like when y'all come together and write? Are y'all over each other's shoulder on each word? Do y'all split and come back? What is it like?
Well, what we do is we have a very specific approach to the way we write. We have a system. We outline together. Pretty much that's where we get all the arguing done. third outline. So okay. Once we get our outline form, then we'll say, okay, which half do you want? So we'll each pick a half, and then we'll go our separate ways, and we'll write our half, and then we'll reconvene, merge the halves together, and then it'll come down to, okay, now when we go through the rewrite, or if there's anything that needs to be tweaked at that point, we'll tweak it together. But now when it comes to the rewrite, we'll pick specific characters that we want to tweak the dialogue for and do that portion of the rewrite. And then once we get those characters, we'll go our separate ways again, and then we'll come back together again, and then we'll basically make sure everything's locked and tight. So we can't really, you know, we're not over each other's shoulders. That's not a good way to work. You know what I mean? I have to have a certain trust in Fran that she's going to do what needs to be done, and she has to have a certain amount of trust in me. And then, you know, we'll just, once we get, like, a really good, polished first draft, we'll go in again together. And then we'll say, okay, based on character, would the character actually say this or would this actually happen? So it's steps. It's a process. But it works tremendously well for the way Fran and I operate with each other. Like Fran said, it took us a week to write it. Once we did the outline, it only took us a week to put it together. So it's a really efficient way of working. You know, these two writers who have different types of backgrounds in writing to come together and lend a hand in actually getting the story on the paper. So it's really a good way of working.
Yeah. You know, it sounds to me that y'all are like the Ben and Jerry of the writing industry. You know what I mean? The way y'all come together. Because my whole perspective of writing has been solely viewed upon as an individualistic thing. I rarely run into people who say, I got a writing partner. And maybe that's just me and that's just the people that I've met over time. But I've rarely met people like that. So, Fran, Adam told me earlier that your relationship that you are building is comparable to the writers of Friends. They've been writing for years. Is that how you view it? Is that how you both view it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually know less about the writers on Friends than Adam probably does. But what I can say is Adam and I were very simpatico. And I think what it is people who – I think a lot of writers prefer to write by themselves. Because it's their idea, and it's hard finding someone who understands your vision for something or understands the way you write and the way you operate. And it's really the way your mind works. And Adam and I – and I can't tell you how many times we sat down and wrote things, and we have – these aha moments at the exact same time while we're writing. And it's funny. It's really, and we actually had an aha moment while we were working on character development for Alex, I think, right? We had one of those weird light bulb moments. And when you find someone that you click with who understands the way you think, and, you know, we're very big on thinking outside the box. You know, we're very big on that. So when you have someone who thinks big with you, it's easy. It's fun. I enjoy collaborating with him because I like to see where his mind is going to go, and we kind of build on that. So he'll say something, I'll build on it. Or I'll say something, he'll build on it. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of discovery. It makes the process a lot easier if you find someone that you click with, and Adam and I click. And, you know, I'm pretty sure the people on Friends, the writers of Friends, they probably had that same thing. You know, they were probably writing from experience and from the group of people that they were working from.
Without a doubt, it sounds like a magical thing. But you know what? I observe, and I do definitely feel that y'all have a magical thing going, and the teamwork is awesome. But I have reason to believe that there's possibly an informant involved, which is why Adam works so well with you. There's an informant. You want to leave that out of the picture. Yeah, my research tells me that. Fran, you have a relationship with Adam's wife, and you tell him in advance what you want Adam to be thinking, and then it all comes together.
We have Brandy, who actually acts as she's good because she comes at everything from a very critical eye, because Adam and I can be very creative, and sometimes we think a little bit too big and get too ahead of ourselves, and Brandon, who's also a part of Outside the Block Entertainment, she knows how to rein us in, but she can read the script from a critical eye and tell us, okay, this works, this doesn't. And, you know, it's all love, so even her criticism it hurts, but we know where it's coming from. We know, you know, we know it's all love at the end of the day, you know. And honestly, I think Adam gets most of it because Brandy loves me. So,
Adam, tell it like it is. Adam, tell it like it is. Your wife, she balances it all out. She puts you in check. Come on, you don't have to be ashamed.
Hey, I will tell you, sometimes my head head gets in the clouds. It's nothing like my wife slapping me back to the ground. You know what I mean? And,
hard.
It's a long and very hard fall, but you know, but that's what my wife does. You know, my wife's very analytical, and I'm very, you know, I'm just out there. You know, I'm just like, you know, we could do this, we could do that, we could do the other thing, and then she's like, yeah, wait, no. And here's the reason why we can't do it. You know, so I'm like, yeah. Oh, okay. But no, you need, see, that's the type of thing.
You need that.
Again, you can't have a yes man. You know what I mean? You can't have a group of yes men, because you'll never get anything accomplished. You'll never reach your full potential if everybody's just agreeing with everything that you're doing. So to have my wife as the person that, again, can flatten me back down to the ground every once in a while, you know, I can appreciate that. I can appreciate that, you know, and because she just wants what's best for not only the company, but for us individuals, you know.
Yeah.
And believe me, she doesn't want to get embarrassed. So she, because her name's not on the stuff too. So she wants to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward, and you know, just make sure we do what we have to do and stay true to who we are and why we got into this business to begin with.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. This is a call-in show. I got on the line the writers and creators of 86, Adam Starks and Francesca Gales. And I want to talk right now that we've mentioned your wife, who is a part of the production company, which is called Outside the Block. Break that down a little bit for me and help me understand the meaning behind Outside the Block, please.
I'm going to let Adam start, and I'll
okay.
Back in a second.
Well, basically, everybody knows the saying, you got to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to think of creative ways to approach a solution. Well, what Outside the Block is, it identifies with the fact that there's not, in television and film, there's a certain stereotype in which African Americans are portrayed. And we've all seen it. I don't even need to go into it. And thinking outside the block is taking us off of the streets, off of that corner that we are seeing over and over and over again on
mm-hmm.
in television and in film, and bringing it to another level. You know, we are so much more as a people than what is shown on television and in film. And somebody needs to tap into that on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
And not to say that there's not a lot of people already doing it, because there are people that are doing it, but just for some reason, the it's just not reaching the mainstream,
yeah.
You know. And so what we're trying to do is we're just trying to elevate everybody's thinking as to what we as a people bring to the table as a whole, because we're just like anybody else. You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just that. So why can't our stories be told in the same fashion as everybody else's?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Outside the Block is doing.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, it's just all about approaching storytelling for African-Americans, and not even African-Americans, minorities in general.
In general.
There's always a stereotype that gets slapped on every single one of us. And if there's a way that we can, you know, take that stereotype and throw it right back at the people that put it on us, then, you know, let's do that. Because we're not all thugs, we're not all gangsters, we're not all, you know, athletes and stuff like that. We're not all comedians. And we feel that we have an obligation as people in this industry, no matter how low on the totem pole we may be right now, we have to start showing that we care about where we see our people go in the future, and other people and other minorities, how we're portrayed. And we have it's really an industry and social obligation to make sure that that's done. And I was telling you earlier, Motown, you know, when it comes to my daughter, I don't want her to ever look at me knowing that I'm in this industry and be like, how come there's not more people like me on TV? Or how come there's only people like me doing X or doing Y? You know, why can't we do Z? And I want to be able to show that. I mean, come on. You know, President Obama's in the office. We could do anything.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why not show that? Why not show it? Regardless, you know, 86 may not be, from a moral standpoint, it may not be the feel-good, show of the year, but it's a different
yeah.
type of story with a different type of approach that we deserve to be seen in.
And actually, Adam, if I can piggyback off of what Adam
sure.
just said, for me, what outside the block means is being unafraid. It means being unafraid to think big. It means being unafraid to, you know, kind of the whole idea of the block, you know, coming off the block, exploring the world around you. And it's like I always say, I'm like, my brown skin doesn't mean that I don't think and feel and experience the same things as anybody else. And I don't understand why it is that our stories are so limited. And, you know, and that whole idea of thinking outside the block, getting off the block, thinking bigger, being unafraid to think bigger, challenging yourself, challenging the industry. And I think for us, because we are independent and we are very small, there is no limit for us. Now, there's nobody telling us, okay, you have to write this. You know, there's nobody telling us, okay, black folks don't like that. You know, there's nobody saying, okay, you have to make a product that's gonna work well in the mainstream. We write what we love.
Mm.
That's it. We just write what we love. We're unafraid because there's nobody breathing down our necks. Our only bosses are ourselves, and our limit is the limit we put on ourselves. And it's not just me and Adam, but that's how I feel about everything. Our only limits are the limits we put on ourselves. So, you know, being stuck in this box, there's no reason for it. You know, you have to break out. You have to think bigger because there's a bigger world out there. There's a world outside of that block. There's so much to see and explore. And through our writing, and the thing with me and Adam is that we do think very big, sometimes too big. That's where branding's important. You know, but at the same time, you know, it's being unafraid. It's just being unafraid. And we write more than just drama. You know, okay. We have this high concept drama. We have comedies. We have thrillers. We have suspense. We have sci-fi. We have every genre. If it's a genre, we're going to explore, including, you know, I think one of the things we were talking about was possibly turning one of his projects into an anime. You know, and I'm like, just anything, you know, there is no limit. There is no limit, and right now, while there is no system behind us, while the industry itself isn't necessarily on our back, this is the time to be unafraid. This is the time to explore and, you know, write the stories you want to tell. That's what it means for me. That's one to piggyback off what my writing partner said.
And that's a very good point, because I think a lot of times in this industry, we like Fran said, we limit ourselves. Either we're limiting ourselves or we're waiting for people to feed us. You know what I mean? And there's no reason for that. One great thing about the industry is that if you become the more multiverse you are in different areas of the industry, the more the probability of success goes up.
Yeah, more broadly.
You know, there's actors who didn't do nothing but act, and guess what? They're sitting around waiting for that next call from their agent or their manager or through a casting website or something. They're waiting. And writers who do nothing but write, they're waiting for that next call from, again, an agent. Or there's certain people that control and dictate their careers. But when you can do more than one thing, you're the one dictating your career. Because now it's like, okay, I'm going to write this. Why do you need actors? Hey, I can act too, so why don't I be in it? You know, why don't I sit in front of the camera and do what I do? Or if I'm a actor and director, you know what? I can get writers, people that are writing all the time. And now I can direct something and act in it or what have you. So when you cross over like that, the world just opens up, I mean, completely. And then, you know, if you're good at it, that also helps as well.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow. I mean, I'm listening to you both speak, and I just know that right now, maybe, you know, the recognition is not there, but you are both a part of a renaissance of independent filmmakers, African-American independent filmmakers that are making things happen in a way that's never been seen before. And in due time, you know, the recognition will come, and you're making history as you go along. So it's an amazing process. Hopefully one of these days, you'll write a brother in one of your scripts, you know what I'm saying?
We got you.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I hooked up this interview. I'm like, shoot, I need to get close to these two, you know, get into one of these scripts. I don't even mind if I get killed off quick, you know, it don't matter. Just throw a brother in there.
Remember you said that. I don't need any diva stuff on set about why you get killed off.
With that being said, where, in your opinion, I mean, the internet, online television is so brand new. It's, you know, we haven't even touched the surface of discovering its potential. Where do y'all feel the direction it's going in the future?
The internet. Everything. Everything is going to the internet. I think it's smart. I mean, it's a much more ubiquitous medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of the reason we decided, aside from the fact that selfishly we just really wanted to be in it, part of the reason we decided to do it the way we did it was, you know, to kind of cut out the middleman, to have, you know, instead of having to go and sit through pitches and rejections and stuff like that, we decided, you know, let's just go ahead and get it out there ourselves. And what better way to get it out there ourselves than to put it online where there's this, you know, there's millions and millions of people who can possibly see your product, you know, and I think the internet allows people like Adam and myself, those independent, those smaller companies, to be able to go online and find a base and find a fan base and really get their product out there without having to have, you know, millions and millions of dollars in advertising,
mm-hmm.
or in distribution. You know, for us, I mean, it's the kind of show that, like I said, you know, in terms of pitching, I remember the very first time I brought it up and I was, and it was still in concept when the first time I brought it up and someone was telling me, they were like, well, what do you think of this actor for this character? And it was like, and I was trying to explain, I was like, no, the character's African-American. And they were trying to tell me, well, you know, you might want to consider because in order for it to be marketable, you know, on television and network. And I'm like, when we were sitting down writing it, I was like, well, why don't we try doing it online? We can and put the people of color that we want to see in the product and show that it can be just as marketable, you know, and doing it online instead of, you know, trying to take it to a network or something like that. And I think the internet allows those independent filmmakers and the like to do that. I'm going to let Adam go ahead and hop on in there. Kind of, he had some good stuff to say earlier.
I mean, basically, it's – oh, I'm sorry, were you about to ask something?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, basically, it's a the playing field is wide open right now. The internet has allowed, for the most part, the power shift to occur between independent filmmakers and the networks or the bigger studios.
Mm-hmm.
Because now everything's on the same playing field. Now we can reach just as many people as they can, if not more, because where they have to pay extra money to advertise overseas and stuff like that, we can do it through the internet, through social media, through YouTube, through even if we are in a place to drop a little bit of extra money to advertise in a certain market, it's nowhere near as much as a network or a studio. So now this is completely accessible to anybody, and I would strongly encourage anybody that's trying to do that to put out a product to go through the internet. Because that is the way you're going to reach the biggest amount of people the quickest and maintain control over your product. And, you know, when I go through, we track the views and we track who's watching what and stuff and where they're coming from through the analytical side of the internet. And we've gotten hits from all over the world, you know, Africa and Europe and Australia and the United States and South America, all over the place. We've gotten these views. And that's just a testament to how the internet can work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Fran said a while ago, because our story is so much broader than just the fact that it's African-Americans on screen. This is a story that anybody can enjoy, regardless of what race you are. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, again, there's certain, sometimes some of the products that are put out involving African Americans, they only follow a certain niche. You know what I mean? It's like,
mm-hmm.
and it isolates an audience. But when you think bigger, when you think outside of the block, you're opening it up to everybody. You know what I mean? Because we're not doing anything that's stereotypical, you know, that does isolate audience. So using the web, we can now, you know, we can now get a following in Europe. You know what I mean? People who may not be able to, people that may not be able to relate to the color of our skin, but can relate to, the story.
Just the story.
You know what I mean? And that's what it's, at the end of the day, it's about the story.
It is about the story.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. We are running out of time. I do have one final question for each of you, and do your best to keep it maybe under a minute. So I'm going to start off with you, Adam. There right now is a writer who has been procrastinating for a while, hesitant, apprehensive about making that move and making something happen, just like you both have. What advice would you give to that writer right now on what to do next?
Sit down, bear through it, and do it, because nobody's going to do it for you. If you want to make a name for yourself, if you want to create a legend in this industry, nobody's going to give it to you. You got to go out there and take it. And that's what we're doing. We're going out there and taking it. And that's the best advice I can give somebody.
Very well said. Very well said. And Fran,
yes, sir.
Tell me, where do you see the future of Outside the Block? Where's the future? Where are y'all going? What can we see from y'all in the future?
Everywhere, honestly. Right now, like I said earlier, there is no limit as far as I can see. The only limit is the one that we put on ourselves. And because we don't limit ourselves in terms of our genres or even what we do as actors and writers, Outside the Block is we're trying to do everything, you know. Really kind of take the industry by storm. Just, there is no limit. It's everywhere.
Bam. Fantastic, fantastic. This has been an exciting interview, and this is history in the making. I'm a part of history. That's right.
I like it.
Soon to be a part of a starring role on 86, too. Yes. All right. Hey, I'm speaking it into existence. Ladies and gentlemen,
hey.
What a show. I'm loving it. Thank you so much for being on the show. You've just heard the voice of Adam Starks and Francisca Gales. Writers and producers of 86, owners of Outside the Block. This has been marvelous. I know we got to go. We ran out of time. This has been great. Great information. I wish y'all the best on all that you do. Maybe one more question, possibly. I know I said one more already,
sure.
But maybe one more question.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's this rumor going around about this guy who says he's the future of late night television. Would you happen to know who that is?
Sure.
I hear it's this guy named Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice. Yeah. That's
Motown
his name.
Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Yeah. I heard something about that.
That is the right answer. You know the answer to success and the future of late night television. Thank you so much. Until next time, I really appreciate y'all for being on the show, all right? Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Be blessed. Thanks.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a show. Check out that web series. You know what? I do sincerely apologize. They didn't even get a chance to mention their website. So I'm going to say it right now, 86theseries.com. Please check out 86theseries.com. I'm even going to stop the music just so you can check it out. 86theseries.com. That's EIGHT. YSIXTHESERIES.com. You can also check out AdamStarks.net and FrancescaJGales.com. It's all going to be on the page right here on the right hand side. I'll make sure they're all up. Thank you very much for being on the show. We greatly appreciate you. Thank you for listening. This is Motown Maurice. You can also check out my website, MotownMaurice.com.